But now, this many months into it, you would say this. You would say that God has added to your ministry toolkit in some significant ways this year. Has he not? If you didn't have much of an online or video ministry, you got one now. Now, some of you guys had it before, and it was an easier transition. Some of you are like, baby, get out the iPhone. We got to do a sermon this next Sunday. And you're like, you're starting from zero. And it's like, how do we do this? How do we work this? And you've learned. You probably had some hilarious flub-ups. But you're learning. You're doing it. That is added to your toolkit. And you did, in some sense, you did what Jesus did. You adapted to the moment. We're going to do this. We're going to do it the best we can. We'll just get right into it. God will teach us along the way. And that's what you did. And now that ability, that reach, it remains with you no matter what happens in the next year. That's not the only place you've added things. You have, in this year, had a complete reset when it comes to judging ministry by the numbers. Now look, we just have a tendency to do this. We have this tendency. It's not good. I mean, we're not proud of it, but it's just kind of in there. We try to tamp it down, but it's still in there within us a little bit. We judge things by numbers. Bigger numbers, it must be more pleasing to God. It must be better. Smaller numbers, well, it can be okay, but it's not, you know, we just judge things that way. Has not this whole thing put a complete reset on the way that we measure things by numbers? It's like, well, I'm preaching to only two people, but everybody's only preaching to two people. Everybody else is out there in internet land, and, you know, I may see a number of viewers, but I don't know, whatever. They're just out there somewhere. It's a reset. Now, isn't there some powerful good that God can work in us by putting a reset on our way of emphasizing and measuring numbers, connecting that to success and worthiness in ministry? That is a helpful reset. We've had new ways to connect with and contact our people. You're texting people in the congregation like never before this year. You're connecting with them through other social media platforms. You're going back and forth. You're figuring out, well, let's connect with them through a live chat on the video feed that we're doing, or let's work in that. You are working to connect with people in new ways, using new things. That's good. You keep that ability now going into the future. You've seen unexpected people who find their way into what you're doing. It's like, how did I get these viewers from Bolivia to my church service? I don't know, but they're there. They are. I could see. You get unexpected people that are now you're able to minister to. At the same time, you've probably seen some expected people just not be around anymore. You have developed a greater skill in dealing with people of different opinions and perspectives in your congregation. I hope you're growing in that skill, because if you're not, you're probably just like, I don't know how many times you've written your resignation letter if you haven't developed in that skill at all. And of course, This is part of the challenge you face in ministry that my heart especially goes out to you for. We all know what it's like to have divided opinions in your congregation, where it seems like, you know, half your congregation is there for you and just saying, okay, Pastor, we love what you're doing. We love the approach you've taken. And another half says, well, you should be doing something different. Or there's half your congregation that says, yes, you should be doing more. You know, you should go in this way. And the other say, no, you should be way more cautious. Very difficult to deal with. But really, isn't this just an exaggeration of what we deal with all the time? And God's giving you, building in you the skill to deal with this better in the future. You are developing the ability to trust God for financial provision like never before. Never before. And I'll say this. You have a renewed confidence that the church belongs to Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to you. And it goes without saying, but maybe that's especially why I should say it. It doesn't belong to the governor, or it doesn't belong to the county supervisors or anybody else. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. And that has been, you know, just implanted and taken root in your soul like never, ever before. Now, all of those things are valuable, precious. Some of these things are for a season. Some of those things I just listed to you, you're going to continue on in the future. But in all of this, this is what you know. God is using this time to make you better pastors, better servants, better followers of Jesus. God is working all things together for good in your life and in your ministry through this time. Now, it's not what any of us would have chosen. But we see how God can use it in an amazing way. Now, it's a fact that Jesus used strange pulpits, strange occasions, strange circumstances all in the course of his ministry. But what Jesus especially used was strange people. And that's us, isn't it? He's using people like us, as weak and as confused and as discouraged and as tired as we sometimes are. As much as anything, that's one great reason. Again, thank you to Tommy and Brett and the whole team that organized this, because we wanted it genuinely to be a refresh for you. Just something to give you a little bit of rest and peace in a very exhausting season. I want to finish with this thought. It's sort of a common saying. Wasn't it some like philosopher, Lance? You probably know who said this. That which does not kill me makes me stronger. Who said that, Lance?
Somebody.
Somebody said it. And then I just said it right now. Maybe I can be that somebody. That which does not kill me makes me stronger. You know, in the Christian life and in Christian ministry, I don't think that's true. How about this? A better, more true way to say it. That which kills me, that which makes me die to self, makes me stronger in the Lord. And maybe the greatest gift in all this coronavirus season is death to self. Dying to our plans, our popularity, our fear of man, our desire to play it safe. If God can lead us to those things through this time, you know what? Year 2020 could be the best year ever for what God's doing. So, Father in heaven, this is our prayer. We don't want a single aspect of this difficult season to be wasted. We want it all to have a beautiful, redemptive, powerful purpose, and to make us better disciples, better followers of Jesus Christ, better husbands, better wives, better parents, and Lord, along the way, better pastors and servants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you for this, Lord, and we're grateful, and we just again receive the refreshing that you have to give to us these days in Jesus' name.